Contentment is like a lake. Look at that lake. Look how still it is. This is what you call picture perfect. That is so still that you can see the reflection of the mountains in the background. And even some places where there's a little snow-capped peak, you can even see that. And this lake is peaceful. This lake is serene. This lake is undisturbed. This lake is quiet. This lake is calm. This lake is still. And when we have contentment, this is what we are. We are at peace. We have a serenity that our life is undisturbed when we are content. And some of us are sitting here today and there's turmoil, there's trial in our spirit because we are not.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series of messages from the book of Proverbs. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of how to find contentment in this life.
Amen. We're going to start a new series today, and we're in Proverbs, and today we'll be in chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, and I'll try that introduction again next week, but we saw in the introduction that the writer here is Agar, and this is a contemporary, many believe, of Solomon. But today we want to look at verses 8 and 9, where the writer says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, or say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. How can I find contentment in this life? I want to begin the sermon today by taking a little test. And this is what I call the contentment test. So as we go through these questions, I just want you to pause for a moment and reflect in your spirit and ask yourself, am I content? Am I content? First, do you worry about food, clothing, and shelter or shelter? Because, see, if you are worrying about food, clothing, and shelter, and God is the one that's providing for you, then you are not content. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, talks about how God takes care of the flowers and the birds. And if he's taking care of the flowers and the birds, surely he's going to take care of you. Have you complained about what you don't have more than give thanks for what you do have? My. Just think what's been coming out of your mouth over the last week, last month, last year. Are you complaining more about what you don't have, or are you giving thanks for what you do have? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things. Do you complain when negative circumstances surround you, i.e., your job, the weather, broken appliances? You know, do you find yourself in a complaining mode? You know, Paul said in Philippians 4, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Have you bought something that you will not be able to pay for when the bill comes due? You know, and what is that? That's a sign of discontentment. Because you're saying that I can't wait to get it. You know, so I'm going to jump the gun, and even though I can't afford it, I'm going to go ahead and get it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if you sought the Lord and God has guided you and directed you, if you get something, you know, we live in a world that I'm going to do a whole sermon on finances in the book of Proverbs. But, you know, if we, you know, stretch out and get something on debt, you know, we need to make sure that we can pay it. And so Luke 14 says that nobody builds a tower without first sitting down to count the cost, whether or not they can do it. And so if we are extending ourselves, if we are getting credit and we can't pay the note when it comes due each month, then that's a sign of discontent. Because we're saying, you know, I'm going to jump the gun. And I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. Are you jealous of what others have? Do you look at what somebody else has? And are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? Well, you know the song. Keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. And so you're going to find that because of your discontent, that you're going to be in trouble. Just like King Ahab when he was jealous of Naboth because he had a vineyard. And it ended up driving him to the point where he killed the man so he could have his vineyard because he was not content. Do you feel if you had just a little more, you would be happy? If I just had a little bit more. And there was a boss, and he told his employees that he would give them a bonus. And he said, whatever your bonus should be, I'll give it to you. And one lady came up and said, $100. And so he gave the lady $100, and as she walked away, he could hear her say, man, I should have asked for $200. See, we always want to want more. I love Ecclesiastes 1:8. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That you'll never be satisfied. If you are trying to find satisfaction in this life, you'll never be satisfied. Is your contentment rooted in material possessions? As long as you have material possessions, then you're content, you're happy. But as soon as somebody takes away one of your possessions, now there's an unrest in your spirit. And are you impulsive? You see something you don't have, and you will go to any length to acquire it. You know, there's people that they see something and they don't stop because, and I'm gonna talk, well, let's go ahead. I'm gonna talk about that. What is contentment? And as I was thinking about contentment, I looked at the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, and this gives us a perfect definition of what contentment is. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Let's unpack this. Three things that come out of this that tell us about contentment. First of all, is having a peace of mind that God is in control. God is able. He's in control. If you can be content when you know that God is in control. Secondly, it's a peace of mind of knowing that our needs have been met sufficiently. That as I look at my life and as I see what I have, that I can look because I know first of all that God is in control, that he has met my needs. Look what it says. Always having what? All sufficiency. That my needs have been sufficiently met. I may not have everything that I want, but if I'm trusting him, I got everything I need. It's a peace of mind in knowing we have everything we need to do what God wants us to do. Whatever God has called you to do, you have everything that you need. Look what it says here. Always having all sufficiency in all things, look at this, that we may abound to every good work. Here goes the definition of contentment. We don't need to look in a dictionary. We don't need to, go and try to find some philosopher to get the definition of contentment. Paul gives it to us right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. This is contentment. Are you content? Are you content today? Next slide. Contentment is like a lake. Look at that lake. Look how still it is. This is what you call picture perfect. That is so still that you can see the reflection of the mountains in the background. And even some places where there's a little snow-capped peak, you can even see that. And this lake is peaceful. This lake is serene. This lake is undisturbed. This lake is quiet. This lake is calm. This lake is still. And when we have contentment, this is what we are. We are at peace. We have a serenity that our life is undisturbed when we are content. And some of us are sitting here today and there's turmoil, there's trial in our spirit because we are not content. But this is what happens, that the lake gets disturbed and it gets ruffled and the contentment is gone and the serenity is gone. And the peace is gone. And what disturbs this lake of contentment? There are a couple things that disturb this lake. Greed, wanting more than you need. That when we feel that we want more than we actually need. Now again, I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I believe that it's good to have nice things. And it's good to have some of the luxuries in life. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes, my brothers and sisters, out of a spirit of greed, then it's the wrong motive. There was a lady who went to an artist, and she said to the artist, I want you to paint a picture of me. And I want you to paint me with gold earrings, and I want a pearl necklace. And I want you to paint me with rubies just dripping everywhere off of my clothing. And the artist said, now, why do you want me to paint you like that? You don't have any of these things. And she said, you're right. She said, but if I die before my husband and he remarries, I want the lady who he marries to go crazy trying to find these things. Greed, right? Greed disturbs our lake of contentment. Jealousy, wanting what others have, that disturbs this lake of contentment. Unrealistic expectations, wanting things not meant for you. Some of us have a $10 head and we're trying to buy a $200 hat. It don't work. It don't work. You're trying to get things that were not meant for you. Now, sometimes you have to realize that God gives you things in your season, that your season one day may come for a $200 hat. But right now, you only got a $10 head. And so you got to be patient and you got to wait for God until he provides it for you. Impulsiveness, wanting something because you see it. Wanting something because you see it. Now, one of my weaknesses, and my wife knows what one of my weaknesses is. It is QVC, HSN. And so you see a lot of stuff on there, right? And these boxes start coming to my house. And I know my wife, she probably says, oh, here goes another box. But it's something that we need. It's something that we need. And so, you know, I have to really be careful. Because impulsiveness that takes away your contentment. You know, just because you saw it, now you think that you got to have it. So, I'm raising my hand. And I have to pray. And I ask God, God help me. Put that remote down. Turn to CNN or Fox or somewhere. All right? So impulsiveness. Just think how many people buy things out of impulse. And why? Because they're discontent. And then pettiness, wanting things your way. Now, I've seen people that they wanted something their way, and if it didn't go their way, then they complained about everything else. Oh, this is not right. They're discontent because they didn't get their way. And so these things disturb this lake that's in our life. And when we look at how things are being disturbed, there's a quote, and the quote says this, we know our society is trying to tap into our greed. They want to sell us stuff all the time. And it's not that difficult to do because we seem we're so unsatisfied with what we have. would you agree that discontentment is our default setting? Business capitalizes on our inherent dissatisfaction so that the worldwide, look at this, the worldwide marketing machine spends around $450 billion annually to make you unhappy. $450 billion to make you unhappy with who you are, with what you have, with how you look, and with what you do. At its core, most advertising is designed to make us ungrateful and to feed our greed. Just think, you sit there, again, all day, and we watch TV, and we see things coming on that tells us how unhappy we are. I didn't even know I was unhappy. I didn't even know I needed the Ninja until I saw it on TV, right? Didn't even know I needed it. But then I'm told how much I need it. You know, one of the things that I you know, just as I think back, that, you know, when you watch, I'm telling on myself now, right? Like when you watch QVC and HSN, it's amazing how that these folk just talk up this product and tell me that I'm living in the dark ages if I don't have it. And then I'm sitting there saying, man, I don't want to live in the dark ages. I didn't even know I needed it. But that's our society. What does it do? It taps into that thing in us, that green-eyed monster, jealousy, greed. And so we're going to talk today about how we overcome that. Yo, but let me say something, that there are some things that we should not be content with, all right? And I just wanted to make that, you know, that we should not be content with mediocrity in our lives. You know, we should always be striving to do better and to get ahead as far as the Lord is concerned. Our knowledge of God and Christ, that we shouldn't be content with that. If we have bad habits in our lives, that shouldn't be something that causes us to be content. Or if we have sinful thoughts, words, and deeds, that, you know, we shouldn't be content. Now, these are just a few things. You can probably add to the list of things that we shouldn't be content with. But when we look at the scripture today, it tells us that we find our contentment in God. If you look at your notes, we're going to open up by reading the background. Proverbs 30 is written by a man named Agar. He starts out with a self-rebuke. And the reason that he rebukes himself is because all these years, wisdom had been available to him, and he had not acquired it. My, my, my. It was all around him, and yet and still, he had not acquired wisdom. The rest of the chapter consists of six numerical sayings. He talks about three things that I need for this, four things I need for that, two things I need for this. So the rest of the chapter consists of these numerical sayings. In the verses that we are looking at, he desires to see two realities before his life is over. Two things that he wants to see in his life before he dies. The first one is that God would remove vanity and lies far from him. That things that are empty, things that are worthless, that word vanity means empty or worthless, and lies, things that are built upon lies, things that have no value in themselves. He said, Lord, before I die, remove those things from me. Lord, don't let me get caught up in those things. And then the second thing that he says, Lord, before I die, he says that I don't have poverty or riches, but I have enough to live on each day. In other words, he wanted to be content. His cry from these verses is, Lord, allow me to be content. So the first thing that I want to talk about, I got 2 points today. a lot of sub-points, but only 2 points, is the rewards of contentment. The rewards of contentment. There are two rewards. Contentment will keep one from denying God. Contentment will keep one from denouncing God. Oh, he brings it out beautifully in the passage. The first thing we see is that contentment will keep you from denying God. Notice what he says. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, why does he say, don't give me poverty? Well, or why does he say, don't give me riches? We'll start with that. The writer realizes that material possessions could lead to a temptation to forget about God. Then look what I got. You know, as a matter of fact, let's turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, real quick. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, he went out one day and began to reflect upon his kingdom and all that he had and all that he had accomplished. And notice what he says in verse 30. He says, and it says, the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might, of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? He thought that it was all about him and his riches. Man, I'm a bad dude. Look at all this. Look what all, you know, and that sense of pride can come into all of us. And I've shared this before, but one of the things I like to do, right? There might be some other people here that are the same way. One of the things I like to do is when I get finished cutting my grass and edging it up and trimming my hedges, is to go sit back and just, wow, that looks good. And don't let my wife come. Don't let my wife come and say, oh, the yard looks good. Wow. Then I'm really like, right? So there's that sense that when we have an abundance or when we have a certain degree of wealth that we think that we have attained on our own, it's very easy to forget God. And so the writer here, he says, Lord, don't give me riches. Now, again, it's like somebody said, I've been rich and I've been poor. And rich is a whole lot better. But so if you got to give me one or the, no. No, but notice, I don't think, in this passage, I don't think he's condemning riches. I don't think he's condemning having things. I think what he's condemning is when they have us. Because notice what he says. He says, if these things have us, if riches cause me, Lord, to forget about you, then I don't need. And how many people are there walking around in the world today that they think that they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps? And no doubt that they have done a lot of things to get to where they're at today. But they got to go back and they got to realize that it's God who helped them to get to the place where they're at. Because in Acts we read, in him we live and move and have our being. Somebody said, well, God, God woke you up this morning. You could even start it on your way if God didn't wake you up. And then somebody said, well, God didn't wake me up. The alarm clock woke me up. Take that alarm clock over to, I was at, for a funeral the other day, Greenwood Cemetery. Let's take that clock over there and ring it and tell me people get up.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Find Contentment in This Life. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Find Contentment in This Life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Find Contentment in This Life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Find Contentment in This Life. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.